The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Drink, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
Footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Coming at you live from SiriusXM Studios in
Denton. Oh, sorry. Coming to you live from SiriusXM Studios in downtown Fukuoka, Japan. This is Footy Prime, the podcast, brought to you by Attitude Home Technology All-Purpose Cleaner. Disinfectant. Kills 99% of bacteria, viruses, mold, and mildew. Dubs, Jimmy, James, Craig, let's have a squirt.
Where's Dan gone? He's disappeared.
Oh, he's over here. It's
definitely bacteria killing. Ah, you're not bacteria. You're not. You're one of us. One guy. It's exciting to be once again in studio, a new studio for us today. So we'll sound particularly good, especially some of us.
Already, huh? Already. We just started.
No, in fairness, Jimmy, you're sounding much better recently. You have. But it's Footy Prime, BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada. And it presents Footy Prime, everybody. Today we're going to talk about Canada because it is apparently just over 2 months from the World Cup. Wonga told us it's 65 days. I don't believe Wonga in his math. And by the time you listen to this, it could be 64 days.
Yeah.
63 days. I could continue.
It's the number Wonga's turning on April 14th.
How old is that guy anyway?
He's pretty old.
64.
Yeah, is he
64? I don't know. He looks great.
Isn't that a Beatles song, When I'm 64, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Classic. Anyway, welcome, everyone. So 2 months, this is called 2 months.
Sure.
To the World Cup. We're going to have a show later this week, maybe tomorrow, talking about this whole jersey swap fiasco. So we won't talk about it today. But where are we at right now with Canadian soccer and this particular men's team? Not in a great place, according to all the injury reports. It just came down literally a few minutes before recording today that Ralph Parisot's out 8 to 10 weeks with a hamstring injury. Now, we know Ralph was on the periphery of making this squad, but I don't know. This doesn't bode well. Good day for Joel Waterman. I'll say that much, although he'll never admit that. But yeah, crushing blow for Ralph Parisot, who we're all such huge fans of here. So over the weekend, there was a setback for Alistair Johnston, apparently, according to his manager, Martin O'Neill. Ishmael Koney got hurt, but Ishmael Koney then replied on Instagram. He's mm-hmm. fine, just cramp. So thank God for that. We can breathe a little bit. Canada is sending a physio, Denise, to take care of Moise Bembido, which seemed a little bit strange. They're very concerned about the recovery from a broken leg. Is that odd for your club to send a physio, Craig, over to your national team or vice versa?
Yes, I've never heard of it before. I mean, obviously there's information being passed back and forth, but to actually go on the ground, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Mm.
I mean, it's all hands on deck at this point, and I think it's obviously for both parties it's beneficial, and they can give good ideas to each other, and yeah.
I just think that they didn't care about us as much, of course.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't have the
If
money.
We got injured, they're like, yeah, good riddance, see ya.
Yeah. Not paying for that.
Not paying for them to go see those two guys.
Yeah.
Probably came here injured anyway, right? But yeah, it is odd, though. I mean, if you're a club physio, I suppose you're open to it. But Dubs, I mean, given what we've seen over the last year or so with club physios, national team physios, And the lack of perhaps synergy there, is that maybe mm-hmm. a reaction to it?
It could be. It strikes me, if I'm taking a cynical look at it, as maybe a little bit reactionary. Excuse me.
You okay? Do you need water?
I'm good. No, I've What's got wrong? A tea now that I brought it in myself from the other room.
By yourself?
Jimmy, poured me a tea and then left it on the counter in the green room. It's good
look,
friend.
I didn't even know good it friend. Was her tea. I just saw a tea bag in and I just poured water in it. So I left it.
Which was nice, actually.
Sure. we'll say. Really?
Not even a thank
reaching
you.
A wee bit.
Well, you know, you see a cup there with a tea bag. You don't know whose tea bag it is, but you fill the cup anyway.
Right.
Some thought.
We that. Try to do 130 prime. We try to fill the cup.
Yeah.
So reaching a little bit is also what I'm maybe doing as I'm prognosticating and thinking about maybe this reactionary move to send a physio over. I don't think a collaborative approach is a bad thing, but I'm thinking of the Nice medical staff. Like, what the fuck are these guys doing here? Like, we're doing as much as we can. We care about our asset. Mm-hmm. In Moise Pompino, Jesus shows.
Sorry.
It's good audio.
What are you doing?
I just took a drink out of my, it's a very thin plastic walled water bottle.
Heaven did.
Yeah.
Hockey. Before your first coffee, while the rest of the city's still hitting snooze, we're breaking down everything that happened last night.
Center, score!
The biggest moments, the key storyline, and the takes that actually matter.
Back for Kudrow, score!
Wake up and get your hockey fix. Fast, smart, and ready for your day with voices who live the game. Morning Hockey starts here. Weekday mornings on SiriusXM Morning Skate. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Click to SiriusXM.ca/Morning Skate.
So maybe you get your backup a little bit, but I think in the end, you think whatever's best for the athlete to get him back on the pitch for Nice, mm-hmm. but then also hopefully to participate in the World Cup this summer. But I was saying to you guys, and again, with the caveat being I'm being a little bit cynical, you think about the litigious atmosphere with Davies going down with his ACL, with Bayern Munich not being happy with Canada Soccer. And then what's recently happened with Eustachio, we don't know all of the details about it, but it seems a bit strange. Yes, he is on loan from Porto, but he flies across North America, across the Atlantic, gets therapy there. I'm sure, again, it's in conjunction with the medical staff at LAFC, but it's kind of a lot on Canada Soccer's plate in terms of, you know, Greg Bay and managing the fitness of all of these guys now, all of these injuries, and making sure you're doing everything you can to the best of your ability. So why not open it up and have everybody involved, all those great minds that you've got on staff at these different clubs, and make sure that everybody's contributing to kind of step on the accelerator and get these guys back in time.
Yeah, and there's a case of, you know, also like they're protectionists, right? They're protecting their own abilities, and, you know, that's why this probably not as often a collaboration.
Yeah.
Although Alex McKechnie, John Green was the physio of West Ham United, and, you know, like, all players move around and they all have a guy. Everybody has a guy. Mm-hmm. Could be the Italians back home in Italy, guys in Croatia. Doesn't matter. All everybody has a guy. So I never mentioned my guy, Alex McKechnie. And for a few years, that was the case. And then I actually flew over to Vancouver with John Green to see Diana Lee. I think you know Diana Lee.
Yeah.
The hernia expert.
And also pelvic floor expert.
Yeah, which is important for women.
Yes. Yeah. And also men.
Yeah.
Pelvic thrusting.
But women. Yes. Yeah.
Eagles,
you're right.
Eagles.
You're right.
Just full control.
But she actually said, you should be seeing Alex McKechnie. And she said, Craig, you know him, obviously. And John looked at me and goes, who is this guy? So we're in Vancouver at the time. Can we meet John? Can we meet him? Long story short, we do meet Alex and him and Rick Celebrini, who's now at Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. Alex is at obviously the Raptors. They both came over to West Ham and we're doing like preseason training and different drills and everything out there. They were really hands on. But John Green was like, why didn't you introduce me to this guy?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think it depends on the club as well, right? Where you've got a big squad and they might only have one or two physios and you've got to look after the whole team in the morning, the maintenance after. And I think with Bombito, it's an extra way where he can have one-on-one time and get the attention that he needs to help him along in his progress. Because even during training, the guys that aren't training that are injured, they're getting treatment. And sometimes you've got four or five guys getting treatment at the same time, then you're not getting the attention that he needs. And we need him. And Nice wants him as well. So I'm sure they probably had a good collaboration and said, yeah, absolutely. If you want to send somebody over, then he can work with him full-time, 100%.
What kind of physio would you have for a broken leg, though? It's about the surrounding muscles, getting the leg strength up to par. Mm-hmm. There's a great piece by Josh Cloak over the break in The Athletic about his recovery and how there's still a big lump on that tibia or fibula. I forget which one he broke now.
Tibia.
Which is pretty common. You break a bone, there will be a callus over the break, right? But can that in itself cause a problem?
don't know if callus as it relates to bone is the right word, yes, bump.
Is it not?
Isn't it calcium?
Calcium deposit. Calcium callus deposit. Is like on your heel, right?
You get them on your hands, Charms.
Yeah, from all the working with wood.
If only.
Yeah. If only. calcium in Greek is callus.
You're full of shit.
No, that's calamari.
Oh, calamari. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so let's rephrase that. If is it normal to get a calamari on your leg when you break your leg? Sounds a bit fishy to me.
A bit rubbery.
Casting your net a bit wide, Charles. Yeah.
I get your point.
Yeah. Right?
Nice. Is there something like, is that something a physio could actually fix? Yeah. Mm. It all depends. Yeah. It becomes a visit to the surgeon, perhaps.
Mm. What is it with all these ex-soccer physios who now find their way into the NBA? Does it pay better than Canadian soccer?
Yes.
Probably. In a word.
Yeah. But I wonder, I think Alex was on the show a while back, and I think he mentioned this, that actually like basketball athletes are somewhat similar to soccer players with the movements. Was that him saying that?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. You're just dealing with generally bigger men.
Yeah.
But the mechanics of it all are are similar, obviously.
Well, it's the same, really, right? You're right with the mechanics. It's pass and move. You're setting picks, blocks, all that kind of stuff that we do in the box. So the movement's quite similar, right?
Right.
It's a lateral movement, cuts, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Development of callus under your feet.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I want to circle back to what Forrest is saying. Like, you have a guy, you have a person, and listen, I'm casting my net wide here to try to make a point, but I taught yoga for a long time. And like, I found it when I was taking classes, I didn't necessarily dislike the content of the class, but it was because I didn't vibe with the teacher. And then I found that too, in my experience as a teacher, people didn't maybe love the way that I imparted the information or had them experience the movements in their bodies. So they sought something else out, and I had to learn to not take that personally. The relationship with physios, especially when you're feeling so vulnerable, like your mental state is so fragile, you're feeling a little bit like an outcast, you're moved away from the team. So we're thinking this is Canada Soccer's impetus, like they're sending somebody over, but it could be that Moise Bombido from Nice comes over, he rejoins that Canadian team environment. And we were talking before we pressed record here, when was the last time he was in camp? And so he did the tibia break in October. Prior to that, he was dealing with the arm fracture, the wrist problem. So it was, in fact, Nations League in March of 2025 was the last time that he played a match for Canada. So maybe he vibes really well with Greg Bay and those types of support staff. And that's really important, too, on your journey back. So, yeah, everybody has a guy or a person, and that's really integral to your recovery.
Who is your guy?
Who is my guy? I don't know if I really had a guy, but we were lucky enough that with the women's national team, we didn't have a ton of resources at our disposal, but we already always had quality people. In fact, there was somebody, it was Wonger, maybe help me out here, Dr. Kathy. Mm-hmm. What's her family name again?
I'm blanking too.
Dr. Kathy was Sarah. Just honored by
Bates.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody's
got a bad ankle, have you?
Yeah.
No, but I'll somebody like out. That, or we always
you will
had
now.
Top, oh, what a misery.
Top. Speaking of leg breaks. Dr. Kathy Campbell. So whether it was Dr. Kathy or we had, physios or you had chiropractors or you had people who were in their osteos, it wasn't hard to find somebody that you meshed with, that you felt really comfortable with, because that feeling of trust, it's a really intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And we were really lucky that we had those types of people at our disposal all the time, no matter who it was. It wasn't a revolving door. There were people that Dr. Kathy was with us for decades, right? But I mean, so once they were with the program, they were there for a long time, but it was always like one quality person, and that was the type of person they were, but it was also their knowledge and what they were ready to lend to the team.
Who's your guy, Jimmy?
Alex. McKechnie.
Yeah. Craig's too.
Yeah. We used to go all our camps. As soon as everybody got in, everybody had something wrong with them. And you just hang around in one of the rooms where Alex has set up his treatment bench, and he would just spend hours and hours and hours just fixing guys.
Mm. Like a handyman.
And he's got good banter too. It was always fun.
But it does become a little bit of a gathering spot, right?
Yeah.
Because there's like the treatment that does happen more 1v1, but the door's always open.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where it's more casual atmosphere and people just gravitate towards it, and it should be a positive hub. Because you can get really down in the dumps in there because it's sometimes you're being dealt really hard truths.
Gallows humor comes in handy in that room, in the room, right?
Yep.
Was there ever a scenario where a club or a guy suggested something kind of crazy that you should try to fix an injury? It's like going back to the whole, it was the England under Glenn Hoddle and the, what was it, the horse? Oh, what was it? I was going to say manure. It wasn't horse manure. It was... placenta. That's right. The horse placenta. He was recommending Eileen Drury was a faith healer he used, but also there are players being sent for horse placenta therapy on muscles and stuff, which some guys, I'm not sure they swore by it, but they did it. They were told.
They make you eat sugar cubes as well?
No.
Nay.
But anything like that you can remember where you're like, that's a little bit far off.
Well, when the John Green decided that I was having all these pelvic issues, all sorts of pelvic issues, and he decided he was going to take me to this guy in Bradford, and he was going to inject into my pelvis, basically like a anti-inflammatory. So it'd be, what do you call it?
Like cortisone?
Yeah, like cortisone. But he didn't. There wasn't any freezing, or I wasn't put asleep. And this guy bent over top of me, and the needle was huge, and had to put his body weight on me to get it into my pelvis. And
where's he going with
it? I fucking screamed. Like I was. It was like torture.
Oh my God, Forrest.
Did it work?
No.
You okay now?
No.
And then he said, "Here comes the needle."
Yeah. Then he had this big idea that if you cut your gracilis. It's one of our...
Oh, yeah.
In your groin, they come across. It's all attached to your abdominal area. If they cut the gracilis away from your groin, it will release some pressure and maybe help me stop getting abdominal injuries.
It might.
Yeah, it was like they hadn't really tried it very often. In fact, I don't know if they'd ever done it before. But I also remember after waking up, at least I was put to sleep, I was like, they had me on my back. And I had my legs like up like a frog and split wide open. And I'm right by the door. The door's open.
Your little legs.
Yeah.
Not a frog leg.
So they got them out and they're spread wide open. And I got ice bags on either side. And I'm totally naked. And I'm just facing the door. I'm just like, what is going on? What is going on? So anyway, it was a disaster. It bled all the way down to my ankles. Like really badly. Yeah, it wasn't good at all. And I wasn't stuck up there. And I had a friend that was a player, Richard Hall. He was at West Ham, but he was injured at the time. So he drove me up there. He's like, when are we, you know, like, how long are we going to be here? And I go, well, I think they're going to let me go, but they're keeping an eye on me. And they're like, yeah, we're not sure. We're going to let you go. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up. Take my little IV, little thing on wheels, and I'm going to, with my little gown on, I'm going to go up and down past the nurse's station to say, you know, hey, look, I'm good. I'm good. You can let me go.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at me. I'll go back. I went by, and all of a sudden, I was like, I don't feel very good. And anyway, I proceeded to just throw up all over the friggin' hallway, down the door, and I was trying my best to put my hand over it. And I was just, so anyway, they're just like, came over and I was like, and every time I did the stitches,
oh my God,
was like, yeah, just make like chaos. So I was like, oh, then scream and then barf again. And so anyway, I couldn't leave. They were like, that's it. So
was this in season or off season?
It was in season. Yeah.
So how long were you out for?
Can't remember.
Quite a while.
Quite a while.
So you were just suggested by someone, you know, let's cut up cut open your groin. Not sure whether it'll work or not. Never done it before, but let's do it anyway.
Yeah, it's going to reattach just a little slightly further down. It'll release some pressure on your abdominal area. And
Are you nimble now?
Didn't work at all.
No. Your groin's been a nightmare, hasn't it, over the years?
It has.
Jesus. Do you ever wonder,
Yeah.
All that cutting going on down there.
All the hernia surgery.
All the hernia surgery. Did it cause some
bollock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had to come through the mesh for that.
Oh. So really?
Mm-hmm. This was post your two abdominal hernias, right? Where they put the mesh in?
Yeah.
So what year was that?
The mesh?
No, that you got this horrific surgery done where they snipped your gracilis.
Oh, 2001.
So the bollockectomy, they went through the mesh for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd think they would take it just slice and
drop it out.
But they just yanked it through.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They don't touch your ball bag.
No,
they might, but you don't know it. But they don't cut through your scrotum.
So where was the cut?
Your abdominal area, and they pull it up through because they gotta take all the plumbing out.
Through the mesh.
Yeah.
And you were out cold.
Well, they cut through the mesh. So the guy, because he said you didn't mention the mesh. And I said, well, you didn't measure your bollock out through there.
It's like you have a house party during the summer and somebody inevitably crashes through your screen door with a drink. Yeah. That forest ball.
That's exactly what it is. What the hell is that?
It's like, oh no, got to get that replaced.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wondered where it ended up.
It's a really terrible story, Craig.
Really,
well, not really. I mean, it's also a good story. I mean,
is it?
I mean, 50 years beforehand, they wouldn't know what it was, and wouldn't have survived it.
Oh no, that was good. So, they caught it and yanked it out. But the whole mesh thing and the whole gracilis and everything before it's a terrible story.
Yeah,
the bleeding down to your ankles.
Yeah,
the throwing ankles. Up on the floor. That part.
Yeah,
wasn't great.
Everything was black. Or my waist down.
Oh, you wish.
No, everything was. Temporarily.
Jimmy, what was the worst one you had?
I had the double hernia. So I got two mesh plates inside me as well.
You got two of them, eh? And they still do? Now, will they need to be replaced ever?
I don't know.
You're going to find out.
Maybe I make a phone call. The doctor's probably dead now, so I have no idea what I'm doing with them.
This is the other thing, like post your professional career, and I'm sure it's a little bit better now, whether it's mental health or physical health, you're just cut loose. Sorry, Forrest, quite literally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And forced to deal with, okay, does this mesh plate have a lifespan? Mm-hmm. Should I be looking to get it removed or replaced? Or what is the best course of action for me to continue to be a healthy human?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is it toxic?
Yeah.
What kind of mesh is it?
Yeah, because I think there was a time when I think there was a potential problem with the actual mesh, what it's made of.
Because I'm thinking of like mesh like you find in Home Depot for your garden. So I'm thinking of mesh. It's probably not the same stuff.
I change that every couple of years.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You have to.
It is.
It's bloody like, squirrels.
It is. Right through it. It is pretty tight, though. Tight mesh.
Yeah.
But Dubsy, what's your worst?
I don't think I have a horror story like that.
It's no mesh. You've got no mesh in your
three kids.
How about some childbirth stories? Yeah.
My pelvic floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Diane Lee.
Cut me 4 inches.
Floor. No, probably my PCL. The microfracture surgery is like kind of gory as it sounds, where they're drilling holes in your kneecap to hope to stimulate the cartilage growth. So that you can kind of go about your business and kind of just live normally. That was phenomenal. It was the PCL surgery and then all the instability it introduced and made everything else gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Wonga, what's your worst? I know he's dying to tell us some horrible thing that happened to him.
No, I've got all good things. My broken hand, I almost died at birth.
From that was a good story we learned last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that was bad.
Was that on air, that story? Did we discuss that on air?
A little bit, I think.
I think so, right? Yeah. Do you know this? That one almost died as a baby?
Yeah, I know.
He's got a big scar?
Yeah.
And also it's more the, I tore my ACL, never got it fixed. I was telling Craig, my
my doctor at McGill was the Canadian's doctor. So I called him up and just said, what should I do? I was 25, was done with maybe ever playing semi-pro or pro. So just kind of said, hey, what should I do? So I've been working with no ACL in my knee since I was 25 years old. So I don't know if that's the worst. So there's things that happen when you have a crappy leg, right?
Like you fall over.
Well, yeah. Dubs has been trying to help me with my IT band. All these things. I'm out of whack all the time. So it's...
Hey, I'm Wonger's guy.
Yeah. There you go.
And she's helping me with my pelvic floor.
Oh.
No, I'm not doing that. And your gout. Don't forget about your gout.
Tassie's begging you, Dubs. Please help him with his pelvic floor. Please. No.
It's a one-woman job and it's Tassie's.
Well, that's horrible. Horrible stories. Hope the audience can appreciate that. Hey, JC, have you had anything terrible? Surgery, broken, anything awful?
Yeah. Oh, specifically?
yeah. Not life in general.
When I was four, they thought I had kidney cancer.
Oh.
So they took a catheter and put it in my penis as a four-year-old and then made and said, pee. And I said, oh, it hurts. And I can still feel that.
Oh,
really?
To this day, the most traumatic thing. Oh. There's like nine guys around me screaming at me to pee. And I couldn't pee for another like 3 or 4 days after that because of the pain. And I was terrified of it. And that really messed me up. And I just figured this out. I've always had an issue with stage fright when I'm in a urinal. But I wonder if that's why.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that why you're always twitching when we all go to the toilet with you?
Well,
it's because you're standing so close to him. That's why.
Well, just stop saying pee, JC, pee.
Well, because you said you wanted to play swords. So.
Oh, boy.
Well,
swords. Well, that's a pretty disturbing story as well.
Yeah.
Nine men standing around you saying pee. That's never a good situation.
Do you have a story?
Not really. I've avoided the surgeries, thank God. Pretty boring.
Can we loop back to our hope monitor? Yeah.
Yes.
So like after sort of the domino effect of we knew the injuries that were already in the national team, and then it was the Alistair Johnston, is it him hosting SportsCenter? Does he, re-aggravate his
It was the stool
he was sitting on. No, I'm being facetious, like who knows what's going on. Hopefully he'll be okay. But like all of these injuries were like, oh, these guys are going to be okay. They're going to be all right. But now it's like 2 months out. If these guys aren't okay, how is our hopometer?
Well, last week we went around the table, right? And I was a 6 out of 10, given the injuries. You guys are a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah.
You're around about 7.
I'm no longer optimistic.
Dropping down?
I am.
Yeah, I went like 9 to 7 to 6.8.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
I'm at a 7.
Are you still 7?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's still two months to go, right?
There's 2 months plenty is a long time.
It is. It is. I mean, and listen, Canada's not the only team going through this. Mm. I'm sure we could go through every single team at the World Cup. We won't because there's 53 million of them. But they're all going through some kind of injury concern over certain players.
Mm.
But the difference is that...
We're not worried about them.
Right. Yeah. They mean nothing to us. If I hope Qatar, I hope Switzerland, and I hope Bosnia have some terrible concerns, it'd be great. Right? Oh, when they say, oh, yeah, but you want to beat the best they have to offer. No, you don't. I don't care. Just want to beat them.
Yeah.
You know, this whole nonsense. You want to beat a full strength Brazil. You're not going to.
You're right.
But listen, we've got time for the hopeometer to go up and go down, up and down. So, we'll worry about it between now and June the 12th, right? Or June, I think June 30th is the official deadline for squads, is it not?
May 30th.
Yeah, June 30th might be an issue.
Yeah, I know. Hopometer 1.
We're not naming a squad. But yeah, May 30th. So I don't think there'll be too many surprises.
I was going to say, Sharms, what are we... One of the questions we were asking before the pod was, what are we optimistic about? So right now, injuries was our... Everything we're worried about right now. What is it that we're happy about the World Cup coming here and Canada? Is there anything that we're worried about? Is there
or happy about?
Are happy about?
I'm like sure. Regarding the team itself?
Well, maybe not just the team. Like, is it? Are you guys feeling comfortable with how the tickets are? Tickets are sold.
No.
All of these things are. You know, we are hosting Vancouver, Toronto, and I always just sit there and go. You know, Craig and I were having a big conversation about ticket pricing, and I understand people are very upset because they might not be able to afford games. But I'm also sitting there going, well, FIFA says here's the price point. You don't have to go to a game. You can just say, I'm going to watch it on television. And then that will bring the price point down because people aren't showing up. Is that a crazy way to look at it? Am I being silly to think that the market will tell them mm-hmm. that they put their prices way too high?
I think the market already has told them that they've priced the majority of people out, and they already have this quote unquote dynamic pricing, mm-hmm. and it's still well out of reach for
right.
the and, everyday person.
Not, I mean, they keep coming up with, hey, we're letting new, we're, what do they say? Like, there's a new set.
New tiers.
So, yeah. So I'm wondering, does that bother everybody? Or is there anything good right now? I guess is my question.
For being Canadian, yeah. It sucks, but coming from other countries to Canada with our dollar so shit, they don't care. You're coming with the euros, you're coming with pounds.
Mm-hmm. And spending $2,300 on a ticket?
Canadian. For us, it would affect us, but for them, it's not going to be crazy, is it?
I just have the suspicion that
for a World Cup, always say like $1,500.
Yeah, and flight and accommodation. Like if you wanted to follow England around, for instance.
Compared to us going anywhere for a World Cup, we get priced out of it because our conversion rate's terrible.
Well, Qatar was, I think it was, the guys were $300, wasn't it? Or under $100, wasn't it?
They were, it was
affordable. Yeah.
The ticket-wise, I mean, it's no surprise. Ticket-wise, it's
under $100 Canadian now.
Then hotels, I was looking in Vancouver, for a few days over the World Cup, it's insane what hotels are charging right now. For big events, it always happens though. That's not FIFA's fault. We'll blame them though, happily.
Yeah.
But it's not. They don't control the hotel prices. Mm-hmm. FIFA's non for profit, right? Isn't it?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
But to take it back to the pitch for a second, and something that I'm excited about, feeling positive, hopeful, our left wing. We're fucking stacked.
We really are.
Yes.
But too stacked. Who should be dropped? Let's find some negativity in this.
Move them around the pitch. Find spots.
Right. What we saw, Liam Miller can play right wing pretty well.
Yep.
Look great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who, it's too soon. We did this before. Who starts that first game, right? We don't know injury-wise.
Just something you're happy about.
Okay. Okay, Liam Miller. I'm really happy that he's playing well again. I like Liam Miller a lot. Good guy. And can play both sides. That excites me a lot and gives us depth. I was concerned with Tejon if he goes down or if he gets a red card. What happens? Well, this Jesse said, don't worry about it. We're good. We're cool. And Liam proved that. So I'm happy about that.
Mm.
Jimmy, what are you happy about on the pitch?
I'm happy with the squad. Obviously, they're not fit right now, a lot of them. But when they do, because I'm optimistic, all get fit, I'm very happy with the squad that we have. And I think we're going to get out of the group and win it.
Win the group.
You win think the so, group. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're a healthy squad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's Craig? Very optimistic.
Yeah.
But I would think that would be the goal of the squad. I mean, overall, we have to be, we're in a pretty good place other than a few injuries we have right now. If they get back to full fitness, we've got a squad that could make some noise with the World Cup.
That was very happy.
You didn't sound optimistic there.
Well, no.
There's a lot of ifs and ands and buts there.
Yeah.
I think
well, that's where we're at.
I was feeling
that's
you had to balance out what you were saying. I think you came in really high.
I'm happy about Ali Ahmed's play.
Yeah.
I'm happy about Richie Larea's play. Liam Miller played really well the other day.
Did he?
Yeah,
we should have mentioned that.
Yeah, the Tunisia.
But you
game.
Just talked about Liam Miller.
I thought he played well.
Yeah.
So those are three things I'm happy about, or three people. I'm
yeah, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean,
he's so chuffed. Look at
coming
him.
Out. Do you remember?
He
you,
wasn't listening. Just repeated what Sharms said.
His hands even went back in his pocket. Just stood there.
No, I'm listening to Sharms, and he Leah Miller was part of it. I agree.
Yeah.
But then he said Leah Miller, and like he didn't know what he said. Like he was happy about it.
But he was being sarcastic.
Have you guys ever had? Have you ever guys ever had the guy?
You're that what? Canada soccer sending a physio over to Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No. Yeah.
Do you remember what we were talking about post World Cup 2022, the concerns? Let's try and rewind a little bit here. Our short-term memory is awful, but I think our long-term memory is not bad. So out of that World Cup in 2022, we were worried about centre-backs, mm-hmm. weren't we?
Yeah.
We were worried about not so much strikers, because John David was there, and a very young John David as well.
We had no depth.
Depth was a definite issue, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So think about how that's switched in 3.8 years, or whatever it is, 3.10.
I can't just say 4 years.
Yeah, be a lot easier, right?
Well, Copa America was a great example, I think, of what we can, how we can play and compete with the best teams.
Another happy thing. Jacob Schaffelberg playing this past weekend. Got a great assist, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great ball.
Yeah.
Except part of shelling Max Crepeau.
Oh. Yeah. Craig, Max.
Oh, I know.
He ships six again.
Honestly, this is a problem for that club that goes back into last season. You know, conceding, 8-10 good chances every game. Like, and now he's in that sort of situation where it's like I said before, it's very difficult to look good in a squad like that. You get lots of work, but they got to learn how to defend. I mean, generally speaking, also Dane Sinclair, I mean, between him and Max, I think they both got 52-54% save percentage, which is really low. Pantemis is like, he made a mistake on the weekend as well.
He did.
He's at 63% or something like that. I mean, the guys are getting, shellacked. And it would be nice to see them get into at least a routine where they can sort of keep some clean sheets. But the league, it's an exciting league, but it's not defensive. I mean, my God, they're just stretched all over the place. Saw that with the Toronto game. Like, what was that? Like, defensively?
Fun. Yeah, so much fun. Two goals that you conceded were terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend of MLS, actually.
Yeah, it was.
I just say there was so much fun, entertainment on offer there. Max, I mean, again, you watch the game. Max, they weren't his fault. They weren't on Max.
No, he's just exposed.
You can always say, oh, yeah, but you want to get a save. Okay, so 5-0. Right? I mean, I don't know if he's losing, his place at this point purely from the goals he's shipping, in that it's not actually his fault necessarily. Or does a great goalkeeper find a way and bring that defense together as well?
Well, I mean, there is that. But I mean, generally, like I said, this has been a problem going into last season. They thought they needed a goalkeeper and probably did. But you can't have a guy get exposed as much as he does and expect him to pull you out of it. They can, make three or four great saves, but he's still going to concede two or three every game. Like, it's with the chances that they're shipping.
When a goalkeeper makes a move to a new club, you've done it before. Do you study that team beforehand to make sure maybe you're going to a good situation?
Yeah, but you don't always get your pick. Yeah, you're not like, oh, hold on a minute.
He's studying West Ham.
My center backs are shit. I'm not going there. Right?
Yeah. You want to pay me how much?
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It doesn't work like that.
But that's any player though, right? I mean, did you, Dubs, when you switch clubs, did you do a deep dive on those teams?
I did not.
It's more difficult.
I was happy to have a club to go play.
Right.
They want me.
Yeah.
No, like, they want me?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's part of that's part of it though, Sharms, is that when a club wants you, it means that they're kind of weak in that position and they need to fill the void.
Right.
So you're going there knowing that they brought you in, they're paying you good money. They want to play you. Mm-hmm. So you don't really give a shit who's in that position because you're coming in. You want the job.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus that ego of the professional athlete. I can change things. I'll make it better.
Yeah. Like a bad relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. I see a pattern here. I acknowledge it. And yet I will be the one to change it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What time is it? We're almost at, I'm getting the old weird finger swirl from Wunger over mm-hmm. there.
Wrap it up.
He's good with the swirl.
Pinky, add that to the long list of entries.
Yeah, exactly. Horrible thing. This is the Footy Prime. It's brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. We're back very shortly, in fact, in about 5 minutes from now. But you'll probably hear us tomorrow, whenever that is. Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.